Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you on Thursday, October the 10th of 2019. Be careful on the roads this morning. A little bit wet on your way to work. Let's start the Breakfast Bite with the footy news from yesterday. Finally, we had a trade. It took 3 days, but we did get there in the end. Tim Kelly is now an Eagle, and Adam Simpson sent an ominous sign to the comp.
We'll work through that. I'm pretty sure we'll find room. I don't think necessarily squeezes anyone out. It strengthens our list, so it gives us more options, and you know, we can continue to strive for the ultimate, but you know, it doesn't guarantee anything. But it strengthens our list.
So all eyes now turn to some of the other big deals, including Joe Danaher, where Kevin Sheedy had his say yesterday.
Swans love getting tall key forwards out of other clubs and take them up to Sydney and make them into superstars. So that's just history repeating itself.
Now to a bit of cricket from yesterday, and the Australians way too good for Sri Lanka again. A world record 18th one-day international win in a row for the women, and Alyssa Healy was the star again at the top of the order.
Here she goes. And she gets it. Alyssa Healy brings up another 100. Third in ODIs and off 71 deliveries.
Lots of sport to get through and a bit of racing news too on this very busy Thursday morning.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, after 6 this morning, the Breakfast Club returns as well. A bit of fun heading towards the weekend. We've got Whitey, Scotty Gallen and Rama in the house for you, and plenty to get through as well with them. Of course, a lot of trade news. Mark Stevens will join us after 7 to touch on that. Early on, we'll chat to Jack Trenny at a magnificent weekend, the young Australian college golfer playing on the PGA Tour, stuff that dreams are made of, and he finished in the top 30 as well. We'll talk to him after 6:30. A couple of trainers to join us for the early mail, and then after 7:30 this morning, we'll head to New Zealand with the Diamonds and Caitlin Thwaites. We'll head to Geelong with Stephen Wells and that Tim Kelly deal. Andy Harper will join us from Canberra ahead of the Fox Sports coverage of the Socceroos game tonight. And Brad Green will join us on his way to a lot of country Victorian towns with Danaher's Drive. Neil Danaher setting off today on one of their biggest fundraisers for Fight MND today. And Brad Green, one of his very close players, will tell us all about it. That after about 8:15 this morning. Let's start with the footy news from yesterday. Of course, the big news, Tim Kelly. That deal, finally done. This is what he had to say after the picks went through to West Coast and there was a third party involved too. We'll bring you how it all happened next.
Yeah, look, still can't believe it, to be honest. Yeah, absolutely wrapped, excited. Mixed emotions, you know. Obviously sad to leave Geelong, you know, but they'll always hold a special place in my heart, that's for sure. And, yeah, just excited about what we can achieve here at West Coast over the next few years. Been really emotional, both for myself, Caitlin, the family, and yeah, look, you know, ultimately we know we've made the right decision, and yeah, like I said, I'm just excited. I'm looking forward to you know, what's to come. You know, being back home, you know, surrounded by family, and yeah, obviously being with Simo and the boys, and like I said, just excited. Can't wait to get to work. They're over the moon. Yeah, bouncing off the walls. The kids don't exactly know what's going on, but you know, for Caitlin, you know, for my parents, for her in-laws, our extended family, it means a lot. You know, especially with you know, some of the issues we've got going on with our boys, with my boys, it means the world. So you know, to be home, yeah, look, I'm thrilled. We all are. It's something that you know, my mind's been made up for quite a long time now, really. Like, I've just always just felt like this was it. You know, this is the right environment, you know, for myself, my family. So yeah, I mean, there's nothing really more to it other than that. Throughout the year, myself, Caitlin, we had some really, really tough talks. You know, we were looking at ways to stay, how can we stay, you know, but when you put things in perspective, it was just always, you know, we had to come home, and then it was about, you know, being in the right environment as well. So, yeah, so that's why I'm here. That's why I'm wearing these colours.
Tim Kelly speaking there yesterday, the first time as an Eagle. So essentially the Cats in return. There was a couple of late pick swaps with Essendon who got involved in the deal, but Geelong received picks 14, 24, 37 and a future first round pick for Tim Kelly. Let's hear now from Craig Vozzo from the Eagles on why they didn't do the deal 12 months earlier.
Last year we were asked to give, I think it was pick 20, 22 and our first pick this year at the time. We thought that at that time that was a heavy price to pay, and Geelong were really keen to keep him, and we had a draft focus and weren't able to get that deal done. But watching him play, he's just, I don't think, you're as well placed as anyone, I can't recall in recent times a guy having such impact in his first 2 years. It's just been extraordinary. And I think he elevated his game this year. So, you talk about, when you look at it, you talk about the draft picks that were given away. I think both clubs, if you ask Stephen, and certainly with us, would you rather have the sweeper picks or Tim Kelly? I think the answer is Tim Kelly.
Craig Vozzo there from the Eagles speaking yesterday, Tim Kelly, and that deal finally going through. Hopefully it'll kickstart a bit more action in trade week because it's been fairly quiet apart from that. One deal that didn't make too much progress yesterday was Jack Stephen. Looked like he was destined to be a Cat. This was Stephen Wells on that situation.
Nothing's really changed, I don't think, in about the last week, where that's a long way off happening. There's a possibility that will get done. We're going to meet with St Kilda over the next few days and ongoing discussions there.
Stephen Wells from the Cats speaking there. So Jack Stephen still got a bit of work to do if he is to be a Cat next year. Let's head to the women's cricket now. A bit more trade news to come later on. But firstly to this dominant performance that continued yesterday with another very easy victory for the Australian women. Highlighted, of course, by the Elisa Healy century that you heard off the top. The Aussies restricted Sri Lanka to 8 for 195. Ada Patu, another century for her, 103 from 124 balls. So she has been a shining light for Sri Lanka. In fact, she makes up pretty much most of their batting. Rachel Haynes made 63 at the top of the order in reply for the Aussies. Elisa Healy, 112 not out from 76 deliveries, 15 fours and 2 sixes. Meanwhile, Meg Lanning, 20 not out from 11 deliveries. Let's hear from Elisa Healy on her ton after Australia secured the 9-wicket victory with over 22 overs left.
Yeah, it was a great way to finish the series. Obviously, we're looking to get a good win on the board, and for me, it was just going out there playing with freedom again. I thought our bowlers did a really good job keeping them to that total, and I just wanted to go out there and enjoy myself and express myself, and did that. And can't really talk you through the innings. It just flew by until I was about 96, where it got a little difficult. So thankfully, Meg was out there and stunned it a few times and really talked me through it.
You looked in great touch right from the start. Like you said, you're really aggressive. Obviously, you felt like you're in pretty good nick from the early overs.
Yeah, well, I think for me personally, when I'm hitting the ball down the ground, I know that I'm playing well, and I think today it was a real focus of mine to just come out and play the ball straight down the ground. And obviously, when one came off in the second over, it was sort of like a monkey off my back, and I was ready to go. So when that happens early, I feel like you're set and you can just express yourself.
Elisa Healy there, speaking about her ton yesterday. Bit of racing news, and it's a bit of unfortunate racing news too. This statement made by CEO Giles Thompson last night on the Victorian police charges that were laid yesterday against former trainer Darren Weir. The core responsibility of Racing Victoria is to protect the integrity of the sport and to enforce the Australian rules of racing, ensuring both a level playing field for all and the health and welfare of all horses competing in Victorian races. This is a responsibility that we take very seriously. In the course of discharging their duties, our integrity Services team commenced an investigation into the activities of licensed persons in the Warrnambool and Ballarat areas. During the course of our investigation, the Integrity Services team sought the support of Victorian Police's Sporting Integrity Intelligence Unit on this matter, thus instigating their investigation. VicPol today have issued charges against four persons as a result of their investigation, which included the execution of warrants at properties in the Warrnambool and Ballarat areas on the 30th of January earlier this year. These are serious charges, and the nature of the alleged conduct described within the charges is distressing to all within the racing industry as well as the general community. Upon the issuing of charges today, our stewards have immediately opened inquiries and ordered three persons to attend tomorrow afternoon to answer questions in relation to the charges. Those inquiries will dictate our next steps. That statement from Victorian Racing CEO Giles Thompson there. So more to come, I'm sure, on that story in the next couple of days. We'll have the latest on that with Michael Felgate after 8:30 this morning on Racing Pulse, and we'll keep you updated all throughout the day. Let's head now to the cricket world. We heard from the women's cricket with Australia in action yesterday, but there is a number of Shield games starting today, the first round of matches for this season. We'll start with Steve Smith. He was backing in David Warner after what has been a pretty lean series over in England.
Yeah, he's played a lot of cricket now. He knows that you can go through those periods and come out the other side. And, yeah, he'll be looking to spend some time in the middle, obviously, over the next couple of Shield games and then play the T20s for Australia and just keep finding the groove. And, yeah, no doubt he'll be fine.
So Alex Carey, he takes on Victoria today in the Sheffield Shield match between South Australia and the Vics at the Junction Oval. He spoke about his test ambitions yesterday at the airport.
Yeah, look, I'm always going out there to play my best and you know, hopefully perform really well. You know, if that means, you know, hopefully one day playing test cricket, then absolutely that's what I want to do. But I don't go out there putting too much pressure and you know, expecting to play test cricket one day. It's one of those things. I've got to keep getting better, I've got to keep learning. You know, Payne's doing a really good job at the moment, obviously, so yeah, for me, it's to play some good cricket, you know, in the red and the black, and hopefully help us win some games of cricket. And then if I progress into test cricket, you know, that's, like I said, that's my dream and that's what I want to do one day.
Let's head to the Socceroos now. They're in action tonight against the might of Nepal in Canberra. Matthew Leckie here on returning to Australia, one of Australia's gun Socceroos.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Great to be back. I mean, you know, we started off really well in Kuwait and we want to, you know, keep going with that. So I think, you know, playing at home, we're always very strong and we want to show a dominant performance. You know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We have to respect all the opposition and it can be tough, especially if, you know, you don't get a goal early. So I think, you know, we're very positive that we'll dominate the game. It's just about taking our chances when we get them.
Matthew Leckie speaking yesterday. Let's head to the coach now, Graham Arnold, on the journey that starts or has started already with the Socceroo lineup heading towards Qatar, hopefully in a couple of years' time.
The boys have turned up into camp. A lot of the boys turned up this morning and we're in great shape. And, you know, I look forward to a wonderful game tomorrow night. The boys, you know, are really coming along well as a group. We've got a lot of depth. We've created a lot of depth in the last 12 months. And as I said, it's an important qualifier and one that my expectations are very high. It's getting harder and harder to select a squad of 23 players. We've got a lot of depth, good depth coming through. And you know, the last 12 months has been a bit of a transitional period, but at the same time, we've worked extremely hard to create that depth. And the players are, as I said, they're enjoying time. They're enjoying their moments. And tomorrow night, it's a great opportunity to show the great people of Canberra, the fans, of what we can do. So look, I think the boys are just really excited to be here in Australia as well. But, you know, it's been 1 year since the Socceroos have played in this country, and you know, all the boys are always, you know, very, very keen to play in front of their families, their friends, and the fans of Australia. So, you know, it's tomorrow night is a great opportunity for them to show that.
Graham Arnold speaking ahead of the Socceroos game a little later on tonight. Let's finish with the Socceroos. Harry Soutar speaking here. Not even sure he's been to Australia, but he's played for the Socceroos tonight. He's a Scotsman and he's got an Aussie mum.
I think growing up, I talked to mum a lot about Australia and where she grew up, and it just felt a little bit natural to me. Obviously, when the chance came around, speaking to the boss, it was a very easy decision for me to make.
Australia's very own there. He'll be playing tonight for the Socceroos. 6'6" he is as well. Big, towering central defender. To the A-League now. Thomas Deng spoke yesterday at the victory launch and looking forward to the derby on Saturday night. Spoke about the changes that have taken place. Obviously, Kevin Muscat being replaced by Marco Kurtz. And what suits him best in terms of playing position?
Yeah, it's very exciting. We've got a new coach and new management, so it's a different feel, but it's also a new beginning for us. So we're very excited for the season, and we're happy to have Marco at the club.
Different change of style, do you feel? Different way of playing this season?
Not so different, but every manager has his different philosophies and things that he brings in. It's not so different, but it's something that has taken a while to get used to, but we've got a nice long pre-season for that, so it's been good.
Where are you looking at playing this season?
At the moment, I've been playing as a centre-back, so I'm happy to play there, or if I'm needed at right-back, I'm happy to do anything for the team.
Where do you think you're better?
I can play both.
Do you have a preference,
though?
No, not really.
A lot of confidence there from Thomas Deng. He's one of Australia's young stars. Has played for the Socceroos too, so he's one to keep an eye on at the Melbourne Victory. Time for a break here on RSN 927. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with all the Rugby World Cup action from overnight. A bit of news in the tennis world as well, with a couple of Aussies in action. NRL, NBA, supercars in the build-up to Bathurst, and all the rest of your footy news.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
They want him to shoot it.
And he does. Ben Simmons shoots the three. The fans want it. They're asking for it. And Ben Simmons is giving it to him. Joel Embiid comes onto the court and gives him a big hug. That has got to feel good. Fans are on their feet. Let me get what they want.
If I'm Ben, I'm saying, what's all the fuss about? This is what I do now.
Not sure who was more excited, the commentator there or the crowd. Ben Simmons with a three-pointer yesterday and from long range too. It was nice to see maybe that shot has... he's been putting in a lot of work over the off-season, so hopefully we see more of that in the NBA regular season. Let's head to the Rugby World Cup now, where there are a few results yesterday. Argentina 47-17 over the USA, Scotland 61-0 over Russia, and Wales were challenged by Fiji, but were too good in the end, 29-17. Let's focus in on the Australian team now. They play tomorrow against Georgia, so Kobe Kepu playing in his final World Cup. Spoke ahead of that Georgian game and that massive front row of theirs.
Yeah, look, they're a great scrum and they're a great forward pack. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, we've looked closely at their game, their previous games against Fiji and Wales and that, and you can see that they, if you give them that opportunity, they'll definitely take it and they'll front up in the front row, and they've got, a big forward pack. The challenge for us as a 15 this weekend is to go out and start well for our team, because I know that when we do start well, and we showed that in Perth, you can really put teams away from the start, and that's the challenge. And we're really excited about that. Knowing that it's my last sort of few weeks in the jersey, I've really learned to embrace every bit, every moment, every opportunity I get, whether it's hanging out with a bloke and going out for coffee or spending a bit more time with guys and just getting soaking up every bit of the environment. The Japanese culture has been unbelievable. The hospitality has been great. You go out on the weekend and you see a packed house, Japanese people and, both teams' outfits and jerseys and colours, and that's very encouraging. And it's just this, that's that's the beauty about rugby.
To the Shanghai Masters now, which is going on at the moment. Unfortunately, John Millman lost his round of 32 game yesterday to Alexander Rublev, 6-2, 6-love. So he's wiped off the court after a couple of good weeks for the Australian. Alex Zverev made it through. Bautista Agut made it through. Stefanos Tsitsipas, he got through, but not without a scare. 7-6, 7-6. This is what he had to say after the win.
That was very close, and I think it was all decided in the tiebreak. You never know how the match would turn if things wouldn't go my way. In the second tiebreak, was very crucial for me to close it there. He seemed to find rhythm and feel a bit more comfortable, so I'm really happy that I managed to sustain the levels of concentration and did the right thing at the right time. He played well overall, I think. It was actually very difficult to beat him still, even today, so I'm really glad with my performance.
A couple of the other winners yesterday, Dominic Thiem, David Goffin, and also John Isner. Novak Djokovic was too good for Shapovalov. 6-3, 6-3, he defeated the Canadian. That's what he had to say.
Just the way I kept, mentality strong throughout the entire match. From the beginning, I was sharp. I brought the right intensity and focus on the court. Obviously, Dennis has played a match before here and won it. And its conditions are played fast, so I think it's quite suitable to his style of the game. Big serve, big forehands. I was constantly there in his return games, but he was just managing to play some, pull out some great shots, especially with the serve. It was a crucial break, I think, on 3-2 first set. Kind of allowed me to start swinging through a bit more and, you know, stepping into his second serve. Second set was great. He started off much better. He had some break points. I was lucky to save those. Just overall, really good performance. I'm very pleased.
To Scott McLaughlin now in the build-up towards Bathurst on the weekend. He spoke to Fox Sports yesterday as the driver's parade made its way around town.
Wednesdays, you know, driver parade and transport parade, that's when the 1,000 start in and you get all excited. But today it was a tremendous amount of people. It was five deep in some parts, and, you know, that bodes well for a pretty cool weekend of racing for everyone involved, and hopefully we get a record crowd. It's actually not too bad. I'm probably the most calm I've ever been head into the race. I don't have to worry about the championship. I can just solely focus on this race, and that makes me feel so good because it is quite a pressure cooker when it is like that. So we can just race our race, and what will be will be. Yeah. Rain on Friday, I think it looks like, and hopefully none for the rest. So we should get a pretty good day on Thursday, a bit of practice in the dry, then Friday should be a bit iffy, but hopefully put in the 10, then have a go on the shootout, and then race day Sunday should be all right.
Let's whip through the rest of the footy news from yesterday. Job Watson yesterday, speaking about Joe Danaher.
Not 100% surprised. I remember when we're trying to convince him to choose Essendon, he was really tossing and turning about whether it was going to be the Bombers or Sydney, and he obviously has a stronger family connection with both clubs. So he's made the decision that what he feels is best for him, and obviously the club has to do what they feel is best for them. And hopefully for his sake that he gets he's an opportunity to get to Sydney and the club get the best possible deal for them. Guys of his caliber, they don't come around very often. I understand he's had injury concerns, but 6'8", 6'7", mobile forwards who are capable of dominating the game, you just don't find them very often. So whether it's a couple of first round picks, that's going to be up to them to broker a deal. But certainly, a fully fit Joe is I think in the top five players in the competition. So he would probably warrant something along those lines.
Job Watson speaking last night. He also said the Dons should be looking at a big key forward from the Pies.
Club has to explore the avenues to try and fill the role for him, and it's difficult to replace someone like Joe, but if Mason Cox is available, then they should be exploring that avenue.
To the Giants now, list manager yesterday, Jason McCartney, was confident, first of all, that Lockie Whitfield will be signing for them.
We've had some really good dialogue with both Lockie and his manager, Tom Petrullo, throughout the back half of the season when we're obviously negotiating around Stephen Cornelio. So that's positive. We will push on further now that the season's over.
with Tom around those discussions. So, look, until people sign, obviously, you never know, but we get no indication from Lockie or management that he wouldn't be signing on to continue what's been a wonderful career at the Giants thus far.
And sticking with the Giants, Kevin Sheedy here believes Jeremy Cameron will stay there long-term as well.
I doubt if Jeremy Cameron would leave the Giants, but what's happening, as we see from an AFL player's point of view, is that they only have a short period in their career.
That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Thursday morning. Plenty to come after the 6 o'clock news this morning with Whitey, Scotty and Rama to take you through until 8.30. We'll be chatting to Stephen Wells from Geelong, Andy Harper from Fox Sports, Brad Green, former Melbourne player, head of Danaher's Drive that starts today, Caitlin Thwaites from the Diamonds over in New Zealand, golfer Jack Trent and the early mail for you before 7. That is a lot. That is a very busy morning. After that, Michael Felgate with Racing Pulse, and at 10.30, Gareth Alder take over with RSN Central. Very busy morning coming your way on RSN 927. Don't change that dial.